B-Pod Studios.
The following podcast is PG, may contain sketchy advice, embarrassing anecdotes, and may not be suitable for parents who think they have their shit together.
This is PG with Roxanne Wilder.
By the way, was Jackson a terrible tour?
Terrible three-er.
He was a terrible three-er, but he's better now.
Yeah.
Just a little off mic fodder that you just caught, but I'm dealing with terrible twos right now. We're going to push those aside and move ahead in our life, Buck, because we're always talking about the toddlers, the little tykes, but let's think about when they're just a wee bit older. When do we start to talk to kids about the birds and the bees? And to have this conversation, I just have to go back in time for me personally. So when I found out, you know?
All right. When did you find out?
Well, I think I found out from my parents roughly after I heard about some weird stuff on the bus. That's what you always have to remember. When your kid, maybe that's the point right there. Your kids start riding a school bus.
Or going to school in general.
But it's always a school bus where those conversations take place, because it's not like a teacher is keeping y'all quiet. So that is where I first kind of started to hear some bizarre stuff. And then my mom went through and read the books and stuff with me. So I would say 5-6 years old.
Wow.
How old were you?
I don't remember.
I think I was 6.
I don't remember at all. I know I did not have a talk with my parents.
Really?
I just kind of learned, probably from school.
And
I don't know what age either. I'm blanking. I don't know.
Okay, so I read that. My mom read that book to me, Where Do Babies Come From?
Right.
If you ever Google, you remember that book?
I've seen it.
You've seen it with the goofy looking cartoon characters and the mom and the dad are getting all snuggly and it's kind of creepy. She read me that book. And then how it started, though, is she was, I guess, reading me a book just about babies' development. You know what? I know how this happened. My sister was coming along, and I was 4 or 5 years old. And so it was like, how does the baby grow in mommy's tummy? So she was kind of selectively flipping through the pages. See, I was a smart enough kid back then to realize what was going on. So she's flipping through the pages, and she was skipping some of the pages that were more graphic. But I saw in there that the sperm and the egg are together in the mommy's tummy. And I remember saying, well, if that's from daddy, how did that get in there? And this is before any school bus conversations or anything. I mean, I was like a little auditor back then. Like, wait a second.
Hold on.
That's from somewhere else. So then I think she was like, all right, maybe she's getting ready to need to. You know, now she's on her need to know basis. She does need to know because she's figuring this stuff out. And so then we read that really weird Where Do Babies Come From book.
You know, I read that book too, and I think I remember being like, what?
Yeah.
Ew, what's happening?
I know. Okay, now this is all coming back to me. The bus, the school bus. I remember someone on the school bus said that the way babies are made is the mom and the dad switch underwear.
Makes sense.
And I remember then my mom read me that book, and I was like, I think I'd just go for the switch underwear way. That seems easier.
And, you know, that may be possible in a weird kind of way. You know?
Okay. So this is important, Buck, because I think, number one, I think kids are more, they start to figure this stuff out sooner in life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe, so 5 is probably the latest I could tell my girls, but
Are you gonna tell them, or are you gonna wait for them to come to you or show a sign of needing to know?
Probably that's the hard thing, because you kind of want to head them off the pass. You don't want them to get misinformation or be spreading misinformation.
No, I'm gonna wait.
You're gonna wait until
the first sign or the first question, or I see him hug another girl too tight. I'll be like, wait.
Right. Okay, there you go. And that's going to trigger the conversation. So here's what I have that's a little bit strange in our family is my children came about in 2 different ways.
Yes.
This daughter that's in my stomach right now came about the old-fashioned way. And my first daughter came about through IVF.
Right.
So I'm not going to, obviously I'm going to tell them their stories, their personal stories.
Right.
But is that going to be weird? Is that going to be,
I think when you're telling your firstborn, I think you just have to tell her the traditional way. I don't think she's going to understand at this point what you're trying to say to her, and it could really confuse her. You know, I think you just keep it stupid simple and say, this is how babies are born, in a very kid-friendly way, and that's what happened, and here you are. And then later on, when she's 9 or 10, be like, oh, yeah. Let me tell you the details of what actually happened.
Right. Okay. So with that said, I have to go back and tell you a story about my sister when she was a kid. And we were trying to explain to her, obviously, with this being the holiday season or on the heels of the holiday season, my mom and I, she's my younger sister, we were trying to explain to her Immaculate Conception, how Mary was able to have Jesus, baby Jesus.
Okay.
So first thing, try and explain that to a toddler, which is what my sister was at that point in time, and or maybe a little bit older, and explain it to a toddler who lives on soap operas, because my mom raised us both on soap operas. So, which I love. So we were telling her, okay, Ange, Mary, you know, she had Jesus in her tummy, and that was from God. And so, yeah, out of breath. I'm kidding.
You are.
I'm huffing and puffing. So she had Jesus in her belly. And so my sister says, well, did Mary have an affair? Because she knew she was married to Joseph. And then we said, no, she didn't have an affair because, you know, it just ended up happening. And then she goes, oh, she's artificially inseminated. Because back in those days, soap operas were very cutting edge, and they'd always have some crazy storyline,
yeah,
like about artificial insemination or affairs or whatever.
Right.
So I think kids are very savvy to this kind of stuff. And I think they pick up on the vibes, too, of intimate energy. So you just have to, and then this also brings us into a whole nother conversation of boundaries and how do you, you know, encourage, you know, when Jackson sees kissing and smooching on TV, what do you say about that? Okay. What are they doing? Is that a mommy? Like you always have to, I always say, oh, there's a mommy and daddy kissing.
If Jackson comes to me and asks about artificial insemination, I'm just going to say, go to your room and play with a toy. I don't know anything.
Or, hey, you're really on the ball, buddy. You've got a future in science. You've got a future in medicine. Yeah.
I'll just tell his teacher. He asked about something today. Can you just talk to him about that? All right, wait. I have a question.
Okay.
So you have two girls,
yes,
right? You're a girl. So whose job is it, mm-hmm, to have the talk?
I mean, I think I will, but I remember, again, in my family, my mom had the talk with me. She read me the book.
That's how it goes,
and
right?
And my dad came by the room, like breezed by the room. He's like, so now you know, honey. Ha ha. Ha ha. Okay, good. There you go. And that was the, like, he confirmed, yeah, like, yes, this is how you got here. Yeah. Your mom's not telling you some fairy tale. And but that was the extent of it. Yeah, dads don't talk to daughters as much about sex, I would imagine.
No. We don't. Because we don't know that stuff. We don't know the other stuff that goes with it,
right,
that you guys have to do. Me having a son, I know that I'm going to be the one who has the talk with him when that time comes, if it comes.
Right. Okay. So you will be, you've already told Lorelli.
It's
implicit. It's implied.
Yeah, I didn't tell her, but it's kind of assumed, yeah, that's what happened, because I also handle other stuff that is boy related, mm-hmm, in that area.
Okay.
As since he's been born.
Okay.
If anything happens, or, you know.
Isn't this great, Buck? Every time we talk, we walk away and I'm like, oh, I'm so glad I don't have boys. And you're like, oh, I'm so glad I don't have girls.
It's true.
All right. Well, the nice thing is, I think we have a little bit of time before we have to have those conversations, right?
Whew.
I have a little more time than you do. You're on the cusp. Once he gets on that school bus, watch out.
Yeah, and that'll be in less than a year when he's on a bus.
You can borrow my book, Where Do Babies Come From?
I need it now.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.